Now we're reading with you this evening in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We were asking a question in one of our hymns, and the question is simply this: what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Well, you know, this week already we were thinking about a man who came to him. A man who came to him one night. Here in our story, we're going to read about a man, and I suppose we would think of him as being at the opposite extreme among men. The man that came to Jesus by night was a very religious man, remember, Nicodemus? But he came to Jesus. And I think the sequel very plainly indicates, beloved, that he didn't just come to get acquainted, he came to receive him. And in this story that we're reading together this evening, we have a man who received. My, you know, friend, I hope you've received him. You know, when I think of that, my mind goes back to the back of a gospel hall away in Ontario. A little town called Orillia, January the 1st in the year 1930. So long while ago, wasn't it? But as a boy in the back of a building such as this where the gospel was preached, I received it. We hope you have. If you haven't, it's an opportunity for you tonight. Let's read this interesting account of a man who did receive. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature, a little short man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I wonder what he thought when the Lord Jesus just signaled him right out and called him by name that time. Zacchaeus. I tell you, it was a revelation, wasn't it? He was in the presence of God, a God that knew him. Mind your friends, so are you tonight. That's the kind of a God you've got to meet. God who knows your name, a God who knows your address, a God who knows your age, and a God who knows everything about you. Nothing hidden. Everything's known. That's the God that we must have to deal with. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured. Oh, there were people that were unsafe, that were unhappy. They were unhappy when this dear publican got blessed when he received the saved. You know, the devil doesn't like people to get saved. And if you want to make the devil happy, you just go on in your sin. That's the way you make the devil happy. But remember, there's an eternity of woe at the end of it. I want to tell you that the one that was behind this murmuring was that enemy who doesn't like to see people getting saved. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And they were doing this, you see, pointing at Zacchaeus, and they failed to realize that, you know, when you point one finger at somebody else, you got three right back at yourself. And it's always easier, isn't it, to see somebody else's sin than it is to see our own. You know, that's a common affliction. And if we got a good look at our own hearts, we'd be awfully careful as we examine anybody else's. But here they are, and they're the critics. They don't realize that they're just doing exactly what the devil likes when they're murmuring against a man that's received that. But listen, you know, Zacchaeus was up to them. He was equal for them. You know, he was just a babe, but I'll tell you, he was ready to stand out and to show by the change in his life that he was now a new man. What did he say? Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, you don't have to do that to get saved. But maybe if you got your goods the way he did, you would after. You see, he likely got a lot of his goods in the wrong way. The tax gatherers, the publicans, were notorious in that land for taking what didn't belong to them and putting it in their own pocket. And of course, that was unrighteousness. Now here's a man, and he's met and he's received the Savior. And I'll tell you, it begins to show in a hurry, doesn't it? You know, faith that doesn't purify the heart and affect the life isn't genuine. It's the devil's counterfeit. You know, friend, if you get saved, you're going to be a new person. You're going to be a different person. And I want to tell you, if you don't get change, you may profess to be saved, but if there isn't a change, I wouldn't give 2 cents for all you've got. And I certainly wouldn't want to depend on it to get to heaven. I wonder if you've ever had any kind of an experience like that. Oh, he says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him. No, he said, I restore him fourfold. Why, I'll just do everything I can to show now that the grace of God has touched my life. That's the way it should be, isn't it? I like that. You know, that's a good kind of salvation this man's got. What of the Lord Jesus? All these are lovely words. My, they're precious, aren't they? Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Now, it wasn't because he was giving away stuff that he was saved. No, no, my beloved friend, he didn't get saved because he wasn't, the Lord didn't say that salvation had come to his house because he was reaching into his pocketbook now and shelling out his money. No, no, no. You see, you could do that without being saved. That man got saved that day because he received the Savior. Because he was a, what does it say, for as much, or the margin, yes, for as much, as he also is a son of Abraham. Now that's a child of faith. Oh, here, this man met the Savior, recognized that he was the one that could meet his need, and by faith he received him. And listen to this wonderful verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My, you know, those are glorious words, aren't they? But I want to tell you, friend, if you're not lost, it don't mean a thing to you. I wonder if you've ever discovered you were lost. You know, there are a lot of dear people in our country today, and they are lost, and they haven't got a clue. You've heard the story about the little boy in the big city, and he was standing holding the hand of the policeman, the great big policeman, and the people gathered around, and somebody in the crowd said, what's the matter? Oh, said the policeman, this little fellow's lost. And he can't tell us his address. He's lost. Why is it the man, he's not lost at all? Look at him smiling. Said the policeman, he doesn't know he's lost. You know, friend, if God's word gets a grip on your heart and you discover you're lost, you'll not let you sleep very much tonight. Oh, I've known the people who came to a gospel meeting and a smile on their face, and they went home to toss and to turn because they discovered they were lost. Oh, says somebody, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't want to be disturbed. Better be disturbed now, friend, than when it's too late. You see, there's salvation for lost people. Only for lost. You know, this first verse of this chapter, read it again. My, you know, every time I read it, I just marvel as I think it. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, what's so wonderful about that? Well, you know, friend, it's just a picture, isn't it? You think of Jericho and it's, if we return back to the Old Testament, we'd see it was the city of the curse. And if we were to look up its location on the map, we'd see it was down near that awful Dead Sea in the River Jordan. I was there a little while ago. Oh, it's away down almost 1,300 feet below sea level. Jericho, the city of the curse. Jordan, we think of it as a river of death. That Dead Sea, beloved friend, from which nothing flows. The Jordan flows in, but nothing flows out. What a picture that is of eternity. And Jericho, that city of the curse, what a picture it is of the world in which we live in. Under the curse because of sin. Jesus entered. You know, that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Had the Lord Jesus Christ not come to this Jericho earth that was under the curse, then none of us could ever have known the blessing of salvation. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to tell you, there's a man in heaven today rejoicing because Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Oh, one day we're going to meet Zacchaeus, some of us. Why, that dear wee man, we're going to meet him in God's heaven. We're going to meet the man who received the Savior. I wonder if you're going to be there. You know, friend, you'll not be there unless you, like Zacchaeus, received him. Now, it is an interesting story, isn't it? I'll tell you why it's so interesting. Because it's the story of a man meeting God, meeting a Savior God. A genuine conversion is always an interesting thing. And I want to tell you, friend, that a genuine conversion to God with the transformation that is accomplished in the life doesn't take place until a person meets and receives the same. Have you received it? Now look, friend, I want to be absolutely clear here, and I want you to be clear. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking, oh, listen, I'm not throwing stones at your church, friend. God forbid. I'm not talking about a baptism, friend, for confirmation or partaking of the emblems of the Lord's Supper. You know, there are many dear people, and because they've had some little religious experience in this way, think they're all set for heaven. But my friend, here it is in very simple experience. A man receives Christ the Savior. And that was the day of his salvation. Have you had such a day? When did it happen? Now, my friend, again, I want to say it was not a matter of joining the church. If that's all you've got, friend, you're not saved. It wasn't not a matter of being baptized. We don't read of dear Zacchaeus being baptized. No, friend, it was a matter of receiving Christ as a Savior. Now, friend, will you honestly, before God, ask your own soul, am I saved? When did I get saved? How did I get saved? Was there ever a time in my life when, as a sinner, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? And friend, will you be honest before God with your own precious soul? And if you haven't, will you own before God that you're still lost? Now, I say there are people that are lost and they don't know. Why are they lost? How are we lost? My friend, for sure it isn't that God doesn't know where we are. God knows everything about us. That's the solemn part, isn't it? Oh, listen, friend, God could write your name, your age, your address, and God could list every sin that you ever committed, word, thought, deed. And you know, friend, a very solemn thought is this too. God has your record. God has your record. And there's only one thing that will blot that record out and remove it forever. Oh, how wonderful that there is a way whereby the record of sin can be removed. Mind you, friend, that's salvation. You see, as sinners, we deserve the judgment of God. And as sinners, my friend, the judgment of God that we deserve is to be in a lake of fire forever. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved from that. But you know, that isn't all there is to salvation. Not are we only are we saved from, but we're saved to. We're saved from the penalty we deserved as sinners, and we're saved to a place in God's family and a place in God's fair heaven. Have you been saved? Have you discovered that it is because of sin you are not? You know, friend, this is so simple, and yet we've got to get to basics. God's word declares, young person or older one, that all have sinned. Now, God holds up before us a perfect standard. In whom is that exhibited? In the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And sometimes, you know, we people are inclined to measure ourselves against somebody else. And usually we pick up somebody that's fallen a little further short than we think we have. God measures us against the perfect standard, friend. And God declares that we all have sin. And because of sin, we've lost contact with heaven. Sin has separated us from God. Sin has exposed us to the judgment of God. The wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus came to save those who are sinners and who deserve God's judgment. He came to save you. I want you to think of Zacchaeus. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know about him. I'd like to ask him sometime. Zacchaeus, I want to tell you. I want to ask you a question or two. Whatever made you think about salvation? Whatever was it that drove you that day down in the middle of the street up into that tree where all who came along would know you and see you? Very likely. What was it that caused you to take, to expose yourself possibly to the ridicule of those who knew? I want to tell you, friend, he was driven by a sense of his need. But Zacchaeus, you were a wealthy man. You could get anything you wanted. You could buy it. Oh, yes. You see, friend, Zacchaeus has discovered what all must discover. That is that the things of this world can never satisfy or fill the void of an aching, longing heart. Oh, my friend, it may be that Zacchaeus was troubled as he thought of death and eternity. It may be that sickness had visited his home, or perhaps death. Zacchaeus was carefully thinking after this life what? Is this life all there is to live for? Oh no, my friend, God's word has solemnly declared that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I believe that Zacchaeus had been touched in some way. Now, I'd like to ask him also, what do you about the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't you? I wonder what you know about him. Friend, do you know that he loves you? Do you? Young friend, old or what? Do you know how much he loved you? Do you know, beloved friend, that he loved you more than life itself? Do you know, beloved friend, that he loved you enough to go all the way to Calvary and die for your sin? And you forget everybody else. He was there on that cross in your place. He was there dying for your sin. You think your sins aren't very important? You think your sins aren't very serious? I want you to think, beloved, of the Son of God with a crown of thorns upon his brow, the spittle of wicked men upon his cheek, his back all torn by an awful scourging, and think of him nailed to that awful gibbet at Calvary. And friend, it was because of your sin. I want to charge you here before God individually with being responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus. It was your sin, nobody else's, friend. Your sins that caused, that made necessary the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? The scriptures declare that Christ died for our sake. My friend, God wants you to realize that it was for your sake. Now, I don't know that Zacchaeus knew what we can know so fully today. That the Lord Jesus Christ had come in wonderful love and grace to seek and to save lost sinners, that he was going to die, and we can say he has died for sinners. But you know, friend, Zacchaeus realized he had a need and he had a desire. And that desire was to see Jesus. Something else this man had. He had an opportunity. I've already mentioned the fact that the Lord Jesus was entering and passing through Jericho. You know, friend, that was his last visit to that town. If you were to turn back to the previous chapter in verse 31, we read these words, spoken to the 12 disciples, he says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. On the third day he shall rise again. You see, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was coming. You see, friend, he came for the purpose. He came to suffer, to bleed, and to die for your sins and for mine. He came, beloved friend, that he might pay your sin debt. He knew what was going to happen at Jerusalem. Listen, the thing that I want you to think of at this point is this, that Jesus was passing through Jericho for the last time. It was the last time he was going to visit that town. Here was an opportunity granted to Zacchaeus to meet and to receive the Savior, an opportunity that would never be renewed. You know, friend, this is your day of opportunity. Right tonight. An opportunity to do what Zacchaeus did and to start for the same heaven that he has now reached. You know, opportunities are very solemn things. Opportunities pass so quickly. And opportunities may be grasped or they may be missed. I want to tell you, friend, it wasn't by matter of chance that you came to the meeting tonight. God wants you in heaven. You know, friend, God loves you and God wants you to hear the good news tonight. How that Christ has died for your sins, that if you will receive him as your Lord and Savior, your sins can be forgiven and you can start for God's fair heaven. But this opportunity, friend, is going to pass very quickly. This little hour of opportunity will soon be over. I wonder, friend, if God is moving in your heart. I wonder, friend, if you realize, you are a sinner. You're lost. You're separated from God because of sin. That there's absolutely nothing you can do to fit yourself for the presence of God. Or says somebody, look, preacher, that preaching's good for people that are downright wicked sinners. Mind your friend, that's the only kind God saves. Sinners. The Lord Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And yet there may be someone here in our meeting tonight, and you're thinking, look, that preaching's all right for some people. I'm sure that there are people here that need that kind of preaching, but not me. Why, does that preacher realize what kind of a person I am? Moral, respectable, God-fearing. Why, I do the best I can. And after all, a person can't do any more than that. So we're told. Now, friend, listen. People that think like that, and there are, unfortunately, many of them. There are many people who think like that. But they are completely disregarding what God says about them. They're believing not what God has said in his word, but they're believing rather the imaginations of their own sinful minds. Now, friend, this is serious. Just think of it. Here's a real nice person. There are many. Thank God for everyone. I tell you, it's just lovely to meet a person that's lived that kind of life, that's tried to do what was right. Be a good wife or a good husband. And just pay 100 cents on the dollar, moral, respectable, and all that. listen, friend. That person looking to those things and thinking of those things can be disregarding the fact that is plainly declared in the Word of God that they're a sinner. Have you ever taken your place as a poor, lost, guilty sinner? Or are you saying, in effect, by your attitude, that isn't true of me? Oh, I've heard of people that would almost dispute with God. I remember hearing of a person that did that, and the preacher very wisely took them to Romans chapter 3, that little verse. And he said, we're going to have to change that verse. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, now he said, we'll have to change that. I'll have to insert in here, for all have sinned except Mrs. Let's say Smith. I forget the name. For John. But friend, are you putting your name in there? Is that what you're doing? Are you justifying yourself and not God? Are you trusting in what you're doing rather than in bowing to what God says you are? A guilty sinner. Oh, friend, this is a day of opportunity, because if you will but take the place that God gives you in His Word, God has a Savior for you. Now, it was for this dear man a day of opportunity. But then I want you to think of the invitation or call that he received. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. You know, there's something very searching or important to notice here. First of all, he singled out. You know, there's a number of people here, and I couldn't single out those that need to be saved. I don't know, but the Lord does. And I want you to forget the preacher, friend, because I want to tell you tonight that you have to do with the very one that Zacchaeus had to do. And I want to tell you, friend, if you're not saved, that he is seeking to speak to you tonight. Your name isn't Zacchaeus. You may be a lady. You may be a girl. But the Lord Jesus is seeking to single you out tonight. Don't pass it to somebody else, friend. Oh, listen to the tender words, the loving words of a Savior to this dear man. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. That's what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. What does it mean to come down? Well, he's up on a tree, of course. You're not up on a tree. You know, friend, there are many people that are far too high for God's salvation. That's why they're not saved. What do I mean by that? Well, friend, it isn't that they're up on a platform like this. I'm not thinking of a physical thing. I'm thinking, friend, of people who are lifting themselves up so high that they're not taking the place that men and women and boys and girls must take if they're going to have God's salvation. What place is that? What place does God want you to come down to, friend? Just a place of a poor lost. Listen to the language of the prodigal son. I have sinned. What about your... Oh, yes. We like to mention him, wouldn't we? But right now, friend, he realizes something of the awfulness of the sin that has separated him from the Father. You know, friend, your sins have separated between you and your God. And the solemn thing about that is, friend, that unless you come down and do what Zacchaeus did. It'll be eternal separation. You know, friend, if you die tonight, right the way you are, and that's possible. Right in a gospel meeting, you could die. And if you died, my friend, without having received the Savior, you'd go from a gospel meeting to a lost eternity. Oh, friend, may God reach your heart tonight. The Lord Jesus says, make haste. Why, there's no time for delay. You may delay, my friend, in the affairs of this life. You might lose some money. You might make the delay in other areas that would affect your health. I want to tell you, friend, you've got a soul. And if Satan can just, oh, you don't realize he's behind it. Neither did I. And full well I remember as a young lad, that thought that was whispered into my ear by that awful adversary. Yes, could say, but not tonight. Put it off. Wait till you're old. My friend, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is, make haste. Time is short, friend. Eternity is real. An eternity, my friend, that will be spent in the glories of God's fair heaven, rejoicing before Him, serving Him. Or to be endured in the depths of despair, in the utter darkness of weeping and wailing. Mind you, friend, I know we're living in a day when there are many men in supposed Christian prophets, and they just laugh at such a preacher. And if you believe them, friend, you'll have to find out by experience. Are you going to let God's word be true, or are you going to take the word of fellow workers? This is the word of the living God. I'm the very Savior who told us of warned against the awful judgment of hell. Make haste. You know, friend, do we not realize, can we not sense, as we consider the world in which we're living, oh, what a mess it is. That's hardly a word, is it? Wickedness of every kind, just boiling them. And God's time, His day of grace, for this world must be coming very near to the end. You know, it could come tonight. What will happen when the last sinner trusts Christ? The Lord Jesus will step from the throne, and His cry will be, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. And my friend, He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friend, if He came during this meeting, oh, thank God for everyone that would go. Would you know? Make haste. Wouldn't it be an awful thing just to be at the very door? Almost to set. Almost received. I want to tell you, friend, you won't have a moment's warning. It's going to take place, we're told, in the Epistle of Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just that quick, He'll call, and all who are His will rise to meet Him. It'll be goodbye to this world, and welcome home to the Savior's presence. Make haste, says the Savior. Come down. take the low place. You know, we've mentioned a verse before. We mentioned it again. It's an important verse for all of us to ponder. He that humbleth himself